If you have your Bible, however you access it, if you access it on your phone, your tablet, if you brought your Bible, your paperback, hardback, whatever, I mean, however you get to it, turn with me this morning over to a passage of Scripture that you will find in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to his understudy. He is writing to Timothy, the one that he knows will take up the mantle of his ministry and continue forward. And he says to Timothy, as he writes under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he writes and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, or those that lack self-control, fierce, those who are despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And he tells Timothy, from such, turn away. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you would just bow your heads and let us pray together and ask the Lord for his anointing in ministering his word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we have the opportunity to assemble here in your name. We are thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, for the anointing of your Spirit that we have felt as we have worshiped and as we have praised. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of your word and to the expounding of your word and the ministry of the word. Of my own self, I am insufficient, I am inadequate. But if you will touch me and you will anoint me with your Holy Spirit to be an instrument in your hand, if you will enable me and give me divine capability, put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. Help me to speak boldly and help me to speak with liberty. Let the words that come forth through these lips of clay come forth with anointing and power, and let them find resting and lodging place in the hearts of the hearers. Let your name above all things, let your name be glorified. Let your people be edified. Let our hearts be touched. Let our hearts be challenged by your word. And for all of these things, our Father, we will give you praise and we will forever give you the glory. And we ask them in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to title what the Lord has laid upon my heart for our service this morning simply, Perilous Times. Perilous Times. So last Sunday, my wife and I, we had the pleasure and the privilege of taking our guest speaker and those that were with her and others, my uncle and my aunt who was here from Oklahoma, my Uncle Wayne and my Aunt Dorothy, who was here from Oklahoma. We had the opportunity to take them all out to lunch and enjoy a really, really wonderful time of fellowship and enjoy just a really great time together talking with one another. And while we were at lunch, I was asked the question, what do you see as the greatest need in the city of Emmett? I did not want to dominate the conversation or take over the conversation with a long discourse, and so I kept my answer really kind of short and sweet, and I said, a spirit of poverty. And I want you to stop for just a moment this morning and allow both the question and my answer to sink in. Allow it for just a moment or two to just kind of contemplate the question, because it was a great question. Can you say amen? What do you see as the greatest need in the city of Emmett? Because I will tell you, it's a great question, because if we can't identify the need, we will never be able to minister to the need. Can you say amen? So it's a great question. But why did I answer in the way that I did? A spirit of poverty. Jim County is, you know, I mean, we're not the wealthiest bunch of folks around, but we are called the Valley of Plenty. We may not have the highest median income of all of the other counties surrounding us, but we're not destitute, right? I mean, we're doing okay. So why would I answer the question as I did, a spirit of poverty? And this morning, I want you to understand that in order to understand my answer, we have to look past the natural and look at the realm of the spiritual. So this morning, I ask you, as you contemplate or consider the answer that I gave, I ask you to look past the realm of the natural, look past what the naked eye can see, and look into the realm of the spirit. And see into the realm of the spirit. And maybe you will just see something a little more differently. Because the poverty that I spoke of was not an economical poverty. The poverty that I spoke of was not a lack of material wealth, amen, or the lack of material gatherings. That's not what I was talking about. What I spoke of, I saw, amen, as a spiritual need. And there is a spiritual poverty that sits or looms over our community. There is a spiritual poverty. It is called in the scripture a Laodicean spirit. What do you mean, a Laodicean spirit? I just might add, it not only lingers over the city of Emmett, but it lingers over every city in our nation and even throughout the world. A Laodicean spirit. Pastor Gary, what in the world is a Laodicean spirit? If you were to read in the book of Revelation, you will find the first three chapters. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He has been in prison for speaking the word of God. And he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me saying, amen, write these things unto the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. And so the Apostle John is instructed to write to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And he writes a letter. You can read those letters in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. He writes those letters. When he comes to the church of Laodicea, when he begins to write what the Spirit of the Lord speaks to him to write concerning the church of the Laodiceans, and you will find it in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14. This is what Jesus says for John to write. Jesus said to John, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is what he says. I know thy works. I know your works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I know, but what Jesus was saying was, I know who you are. And I know that you are not hot on fire for God, and you're not really cold and just simply turn your back on God. You're somewhere in the middle. Hello? I know your works, he said, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. He says in verse 16, so then because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And then it is verse 17 that I desire to key in upon. Because it is that 17th verse that he begins to address their attitude and their mindset. And he begins to reveal unto them, amen, what they thought of themselves and what he thought of them. How many of you know sometimes, amen, we can think one thing of ourselves and God has a whole nother perspective. Hello? Amen. This is what he said in the 17th verse. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods, and I don't have need of nothing. I don't have need of anything. But Jesus said, you don't see me like I see you. He said, but you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Can I just stop for a minute to tell you this morning, amen, that Laodicean spirit resting upon their church, they thought they were doing okay. They thought they had it all together. But in reality, they were spiritually impoverished and they were spiritually poor. Let me just share something with you this morning. You can have one indication or one vision of yourself and God have a whole nother perspective just to reveal to you. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said to the church there in Laodicea, you don't see me or I don't see you like you see yourself. My grandmother used to say, if you could buy them for what they thought they were worth and sell them for what they were really worth, you might really, amen, go in the poorhouse. Right? Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. By all outward appearance, they looked like they had it all together. They appeared to have their priorities in line with God, and they appeared to be headed in the right direction, and they appeared to have a great relationship with Him. Amen. They appeared to have it all together, but in reality, they denied the very existence. Amen. Their actions denied the very existence of a real relationship with Him, and they were overshadowed by a spirit of poverty that kept them spiritually impoverished. When I answered the question that I answered, and that I answered in the way that I answered, what do you see as the greatest need in the city of Emmett? What I could not help but think down in my spirit, amen, is that we need a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual awakening that will bring our hearts back to God. We need a spiritual awakening that will bring our hearts back to the principles of God. We need a spiritual awakening that will bring our hearts back to the Word of God. We need a spiritual awakening, amen, that will cause us to fall upon our knees and repent and confess our need for God. We have become like the Laodicean church. Amen. And I'm talking about community-wide, worldwide, our nation, worldwide. Amen. We become like the Laodicean church. We're not really hot and we're not really cold. We're somewhere in the middle. Amen. And we need to have a spiritual awakening. We think we are doing okay, and in reality, we have become lukewarm and spiritually blind and spiritually impoverished, or spiritually impoverished. And there looms over our head and throughout the community this lukewarm attitude for the things of God. So the question begs to be asked, why? Why is this spirit lingering over our community? Why? Why are we spiritually impoverished Is it because there is a lack of churches? Think about what I just said. I looked in the phone book real quick yesterday. There are over 25 churches in Emmett. Is it because there are a lack of churches? No. Is it because there is a lack of godly men who stand in the pulpits and are willing to preach the truth? No. I know a majority of the pastors in this community, and they are good men. They love God. They love people. It's not that they are the problem. Is it because there are a lack of Bibles? Oh my God, that the Bible and the Word of God is more accessible to us than at any other time in our history. You can access it on the phone. You can get it on the tablet. You can get it on your computer. You can get it at the dollar store. Hello? No. Our spiritual poverty has nothing to do with the amount of churches, amen, or the men that are preaching or the lack of the word. No, it has nothing to do with that. So why this spiritual poverty? Why this Laodicean spirit hanging over our head? And the answer to that question can be found in our text. It can be found in the scriptures that we started reading this morning. I submit to you this morning that there is a spiritual poverty that has been loosed upon humanity because we are living in the final days. We are living in the last days. We are living in the last days. Look at verse number 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verses that we read. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says to him, and I'm going to read the God's Word translation this time around. He says, you must understand. You have to get a grip on this. You have to understand. You must know this also, that when in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times, violent moments, violent times. The first thing that I want you to notice from our text is Paul is speaking about the condition of the last days. What do I mean by the phrase the last days? The last days is an expression that is used in the scripture, amen, to define or to describe the final days upon the earth before Jesus Christ returns to earth. When Paul says the last days, he is saying just before the Lord returns. Just before the Lord returns, in those final days, in those last hours on planet Earth, here's what's going to be transpiring. I don't know about you this morning, but I could just ask, do you believe that we're living in the last days? Anybody? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is still coming again? Anybody? Amen. I'll tell you right now, there may be some that have ceased to preach that Jesus is coming again. Amen. And they may have dismissed his coming. But I still believe that Jesus Christ is coming for his church at the rapture. And I believe that he's coming again 7 years later with his church. Amen. At the second coming to rule and reign over planet Earth throughout the millennial kingdom. Pastor Gary, do you have scripture to back that up? Well, amen. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Amen. Jesus said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going to prepare a place for you. And then he goes on to say, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. 10 to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Brother, I believe he said it, and I believe it's coming. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, the Bible said that after Jesus had risen from the dead, that he showed himself alive unto his disciples and unto the people for 40 days with many infallible proofs. He showed himself to be alive and to be resurrected. And the Bible said in that first chapter of the book of Acts that he led them out to the gates or out to the edge of the city on Mount Carmel or on Mount Olive. And the Bible said that he began to speak to them and tell them to go back into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And while the Bible said, while he was still speaking to them, amen, the Bible said two angels stood by him in white apparel, and Jesus began to ascend up into the heavens, and the Bible said the disciples looked steadfastly upward, and the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? Because this same Jesus, amen, that you see go away is going to come in like manner as he's going up. Amen. What I'm saying this morning is I believe that he's coming again. And Paul is telling Timothy, amen, you may not know the day and you may not know the hour, but you will be able to discern the times because of what's happening in the last day. I know I should mellow out a little bit, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's just not in me. Amen. He said, know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So the first thing that I want you to get a grip on is he is talking about the last days. And then from verse number 2 to verse number 4, he launches into a list of characters that describe the character, the mindset, the attitude of the people who are living in the final days just before Christ comes. Look at verse number 2. He said, people, and I'm going to read the God's word. I read it originally in the King James, but I'm going to read it hearing the God's word. He said, people will be selfish. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you know any people who are really, really selfish? This is not a good time to look at your neighbor. Not a good time to punch your partner. Oh, he said, they will love money. You know, we live in a world today that it is about the almighty dollar. I mean, you get all you can and can all you can get and step on anybody to get there. That's the attitude of the world we live in. He said they will brag. They will be arrogant. They will use abusive language. They will curse their parents, show no gratitude, have no respect for what is holy. Sound familiar? They will lack normal affection for their families. They will refuse to make peace with anyone. Anybody know anybody like that? Hello? They will be slanderous. They will lack self-control. They will be brutal. They will have no love for what is good. They will be traitors. They'll tell you one thing today and do something tomorrow. They'll be traitors. They will be reckless and conceited. And rather than loving God, they will love pleasure. Does it sound like our society today? Sounds like you could pick up the evening news and just it coincides with what we've just read. You read those four verses and you realize that we are living in the last days because people around us are ungrateful. They are unthankful. Do you realize how blessed we are in this nation? Oh my God, we are so blessed. Amen. And we are so ungrateful for what we have. God help us. Amen. People are unholy and unforgiving. Amen. We live in a day when evil is called good and good is called evil. We live in a world where people are selfish and without any kind of self-control. We live in a world where people are high-minded and proud and have no respect for the holy things of God. There are no rules. There are no morals. And there are no absolutes. Amen. There are no restraints. And the prevailing attitude is whatever feels good, it's okay for me to do. Maybe I should duck to preach that part. And we haven't even got to the bad news yet. Because the bad news comes in verse 5. The bad news comes in verse 5. As you read through verses 2, 3, and 4, you may be thinking that you are reading a long list of evil characteristics that it's talking about the unbelieving. Those that never darken the doorway of a church. Those that have never called upon the name of the Lord. Those that never, amen, have repented. And those that have nothing to do with God. Maybe you're thinking as you read verse 2, 3, and 4, he's talking about the world. Until you get to verse 5. And then you realize, good grief, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church. He is saying that the church will have these characteristics. Not just the world, but it seeps into the church. Look at verse 5. He said they will have a form of godliness. He's describing the character of those who profess to be Christians. Y'all ain't shouting as good as I'm preaching. He said, let me read it to you in the God's word. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power of God to really change their heart. In other words, he's telling us that in the last days, there is going to be a spirit of spiritual poverty that looms to the point that it will not just affect the world, but that it will affect the church world. They will profess one thing. They will talk the talk and not walk the walk. They will talk the talk and they will put up a good front. But their relationship with God is nothing more than an empty shell. They will ask all of the right questions. Amen. And they will follow all of the wrong answers. Amen. They will join the church and confess to know the Lord. They'll be baptized. They'll attend service. They'll give. And they'll go through all of the motions. But their heart is far from him. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 8. He said of the Pharisees, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In other words, they talk a good talk. They do all of the outward things that are supposed to be right. But when you really, really get down on the inside and begin to examine their character, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Beloved, I can tell you this morning, and I believe with all of my heart, the Lord laid it upon my spirit to come to you this morning and just ask you to consider our ways and consider our actions and look in your own heart and examine whether you be in the faith or whether you are in the path of the Laodicean church. Amen. I believe with all of my heart the Lord's been dealing with me all week long ever since I answered the question. Amen. I came to tell you this morning that God is developing Elevation Worship Center to be a different kind of church. God is calling us at Elevation Worship Center to be a different kind of Christian. God is cultivating those of us here at Elevation Worship Center to be a different kind of people. Amen. We will not be bound by law and ritual, but we will celebrate His grace and His mercy. We will not be bound by religious formality and traditions and formality alone, but we will surrender to holiness and obedience. We refuse to be a church that has a form of godliness and denies the real changing, life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We refuse to have just a form without any change. Amen. We refuse to allow a spirit of mediocrity, amen, a spirit of the Laodicean church to rest upon this church body or upon our life. May God awaken us and call us to a higher calling. I dare you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Be different. Don't just have a form of godliness and deny the life-changing power of the gospel. Amen. If you're going to profess it, walk it. Amen. Dare to be different. I challenge you this morning, EWC, I challenge you, amen, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. I challenge you to be different, amen, and love your neighbor as yourself. I challenge you to be different and let the light of the gospel shine forth out of your life. Amen. You may say, well, they didn't reciprocate. They didn't smile back at me. Big deal. Smile at them. Love on them. Let them know that Jesus loves them and that what you got is real. Amen. Dare to be different. Be led of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Dare to be different. Don't just be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, but hear it, apply it, and obey the word of the living God. Amen, because we are living in the last days and Jesus Christ is coming again. Paul said, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Amen, I'm not the Apostle Paul, but I'm telling you, they're not just coming, they're already here. Hello? I said, they're not just coming, they're already here. Amen. We live in a society that calls good evil and evil good. And those that stand for righteousness are criticized and hated and despised. That's all right. You can call me anything you want to. But when Jesus calls me, you can call me God. Amen. Because I'm going to be out of here. Can you say amen? He's coming soon. There is a spirit sent of the enemy. Amen, that looms over humanity. It's come to deceive and it's come to cause us to be lukewarm, miserable, blind and wretched and naked and spiritually poor in the sight of God. Amen, the greatest need of our community is a spiritual revival. A spiritual outpouring, a spiritual awakening, a spiritual move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not just a form, but a genuine move of the Holy Ghost that will shake some things up. How many of you ever remember reading in the book of Acts chapter 2? The Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and they were all in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And the Bible said that cloven tongues like as of fire set down upon them, and they heard the sound of the wind blowing through that building. Amen. Let me just tell you something. We need the sound of the Holy Spirit to begin to blow upon our life and shake some things up and turn some things over and cause our hearts to be changed. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to settle down now. Only for now, but amen. Let me just tell you this morning, we are living in perilous times. The number one need. Somebody said, well, I think the number one need would be a great community center for the young people. That'd be great. That would be wonderful. Well, I think the number one need would get rid of all these drugs and all this meth and all this junk that's in the valley. Well, that's great. I agree. Those are good things. But they're not the number one need. The number one need is to have a spiritual revival, a spiritual awakening, where the reality of God's power really changes hearts and really changes lives. You get a change in your heart and a change in your life. You won't want some of that other junk. Hello? You get a real Holy Spirit change in your heart, and it'll cause you to walk right, talk right, live right, spit right, amen, and everything else. Hello? What we really, really need is a genuine work of the Holy Spirit that changes life. And I came to tell you this morning, it's not like God's hands are tied and he can't. No, it's that we won't. And the moment we say, I want that, Lord, he'll pour it out on us. The moment we decide, let me just tell you, there are two people that have voted for you, the devil and Jesus. The devil voted against you, Jesus voted for you, and you cast the tying vote. And the minute we decide, I'm tired of all this mess. I'm tired of this lukewarm. I'm tired of this Laodicea. And I'm tired of this spiritual poverty. Oh, God, pour it out on me. God is right there to give us our heart's desire. Maybe you are here this morning and you find that you have been rocked to sleep by this Laodicean spirit. Maybe you are here this morning and you find after hearing this message that you realize that you have become lukewarm in the sight of God. Maybe you realize that there are some things in your life that need to change and you need a spiritual awakening in your heart, your life. Good news. Jesus is standing here this morning and ready to cast a vote in your favor. All we have to do is say, wake us up, Lord, shake us up, change our heart, change our life, change our ways. His final instruction can be found there in verse number 5. He says to Timothy, they'll have a form of godliness. How many of you know we see form all over the valley, all over the world? People that claim to know Christ, people that claim to be born again and live a lifestyle that testifies they haven't been born again. Paul says in that fifth verse, from such, turn away. Now, some people may think that he's saying turn away from people. He's not saying turn away from people. He's saying turn away from their ways. Turn away from their characteristics. They may want to have a form of godliness and deny the power, but you turn away from that. I got something better in mind for you. I have something that will literally change you from the inside out. Amen. Now, let me just tell you, that's what I found when I found the Lord. I found something that changed me inside out. I can tell you, when I was a young man, I had no intentions of being a preacher. I played music, run all over the country with a country group or a country rock group called Gary White and the Countrymen. I was a sinner and I was a good one. I knew how to do it and I did it right. And you know what I found? I found something in me was missing. I found something on the inside. Amen. Money couldn't fill it. The love of a good wife couldn't fill it. Notoriety couldn't fill it. Amen. I couldn't fill it with anything that the world had to offer. And I heard the voice of the Lord one day. He said, are you tired of trying it your way? Yeah, I believe I am. I pulled over on the side of the road right between Mountain Home and Twin Falls. I pulled over to the side of the road, right on the side of the freeway, and I said, Lord Jesus, if you'll come into my heart, if you will change me, if you will fill this emptiness in me, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And you know what happened? Right there on the side of the freeway, cars buzzing by at 75 miles an hour, probably thinking that I had car trouble, Jesus came into my heart, and he so radically changed me that he put a desire for me to preach his word down in my heart, and I walked away from everything to do it. Amen. I'm telling you, he can change you from the inside out. You don't have to be lukewarm. You don't have to have just a form of religion. You can have a vibrant relationship that'll set your soul on fire. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and holy and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you for your word that reveals to us that your coming is soon. We see the evidence of your coming all around us. We see the evidence of your soon coming by the lukewarm condition of many in the church world. I pray, O God, that you will grant unto us on a personal level a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening that will touch our hearts and bring us from a passionless people to a people filled and impassioned for the glory of God. Give us a spiritual awakening that will bring us from our lukewarm condition and cause us to be fervently set on fire with the presence and the Spirit of the living God. Touch our hearts. Speak to us, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. I need it. God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you. Oh, God. Oh God, cause us to have a hunger and a desire for the life-changing Word of God. Amen, amen. Anybody else, you'd slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I find myself in a lukewarm condition. Anybody else, you'd be willing to slip up your hand and say, that's me. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. Your hand. Amen. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning, would you please? Oh, sweet, sweet Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. All of you that lifted your hand, let me just pray with you. If you're here and you didn't lift your hand this morning, help me pray for those that have lifted their hands. Pray that the Lord will just strengthen them and bless them. Cause a spiritual awakening to begin to start in their heart here right now today. Heavenly Father, you have seen every hand lifted. My God, you know that there has been a spirit of poverty, spiritual poverty released upon humanity, and how easy that it is for us to often get distracted and begin to walk away from what we know to be right. How easy it is for us, amen, to allow the enemy to rock us to sleep until we come to the place where we lose out with God and we are spewed out of the mouth of Jesus because of our lukewarm condition. This morning, oh God, thank you for talking to us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you for awaking us. Thank you for not allowing the snooze to just stay on. But oh God, thank you for allowing the alarm to go off. And Father, we want to respond. We ask you to come into our hearts. Open our spirit up to you. God, give us a spiritual awakening. God, let our hearts, let a flame begin to kindle, blow upon that flame with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, let us be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen, amen.